بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue in the chapter of Hajj, in the second lesson, conditions of a mahram for women. We spoke about the virtues of Hajj and the obligation of Hajj and the meaning of istita'a, ability, and we spoke about qada, ad-dayn, and so on about the dayn. Now we come to another important condition of Hajj, which is mahram for women. Mahram for women. He said, وَيُعْتَبَرُ لِلْمَرْأَةِ وُجُودُ مَحْرَمِهَا وَهُوَ زَوْجُهَا وَمَنْ تَحْرِمُ عَلَيْهِ عَلَى التَّأْبِيدِ بِنَسَبٍ أَوْ سَبَبٍ مُبَاحٍ. Said, for a woman to be considered able to go, she must have a mahram with her. This is her husband or one of the men whom she is permanently not allowed to marry. Right. Of course, the condition of mahram, ikhwani, as a condition before we go into the dalil and that, is a disputed dalil amongst the ulama. And Imam Shafi'i's opinion says if she is with a group of trustworthy group, she can go. Imam Malik differentiated between, yani the Maliki madhab differentiated between obligatory Hajj and supererogatory Hajj. Obligatory Hajj, which is the first Hajj, he said, first Hajj, she can go with a group of trustworthy people. As for supererogatory extra Hajj, she is not allowed to go without a mahram. So the condition is disputed. Allahu a'lam, yani according to the Hanabila and Ahlul Hadith and so, the Hadith are clear in the condition of mahram. Today, I think they're given visa for Hajj if she is over 45. Yeah, if she is over 45, if she is with a group. Normally, yani, here the hadith did not distinguish, because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. A woman should not travel except with a mahram, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. There is another hadith from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said that I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم ولا تسافر امرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. فقام رجل فقال يا رسول الله إن امرأتي خرجت حاجة إني اكتتبت في غزوتي كذا وكذا. قال انطلق فحج مع امرأتك. Ibn Abbas said that he heard the Prophet ﷺ say no man should be alone with a woman unless her mahram is present, and no woman should travel unless she has mahram with her. A man stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, my wife has gone out for Hajj and I have enlisted for such and such a campaign. طيب. The Prophet ﷺ said, go and perform Hajj with your wife. Of course, he had the man going for jihad, and the Prophet ﷺ said to him, what? Go with your wife Hajj. Now, so here, as you see, let's go now through the details of what the Imam said. It is a condition for the woman, for Hajj to be obligatory on her. What does it mean? Meaning if there is no mahram, then she's not obligated with Hajj. Yani she can't cry and say, how can I fulfill my obligation? Now, you're not obligated to begin with. Sah? You're not obligated to begin with. You see, because you're lacking a condition of mahram. Same thing when you talk about, example, I don't have enough money for zakat. Then you're not obligated to pay zakat. Same thing, she doesn't have a mahram, she's not obligated for Hajj. She doesn't have the money, she's not obligated for Hajj. But the existence of mahram then makes Hajj obligatory on her. Who is the mahram? He said, Zawjuha. First, her husband. Most important one is her husband. And whomever she cannot marry forever. It's either temporarily she cannot marry them, or permanently. The permanent one, who are they? Her father, her brother, and so. Who are the temporary ones? The, for example, her brother-in-law, the one who's married to her sister, if he divorces her sister or her sister passes away, he can marry her. It's a temporary. صح? The mahramiyya here is temporary mahramiyya. He's not allowed to marry her due to the hadith, he cannot, or to the ayah, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ, and to combine between two sisters. But that mahramiyya is not something permanent, it's something temporary. But who is mahramiyya permanent? Example, her stepfather. Even if he divorces her mother, yani her stepfather, the man who got married to her mother and he consummated the marriage, she becomes, after consummation, the marriage, mahram for him till eternity, even if he divorces her mother. Here he said, أو سبب مباح, or the reason that is allowed. Example, suckling, or by marriage. Or like her brother, for example, like her brother from suckling. Then it is what? It is a reason that is accepted by the Sharia for the mahramiyya. He said, we understand, we'll talk about it in more details when we continue with the chapter of marriage. Remember, we done one lecture in marriage and then we stopped. Well, inshallah, we renew that after we finish the chapter of Hajj, we go back to the chapter of marriage. Just here he said, Rahimahullah, فَمَنْ فَرَّتْ. As for the ones, here he said, now, to marry because of relationships by birth or some permissible reason. Anyway, I explained that. وَمَنْ فَرَّطَ حَتَّى مَاتْ أُخْرِجَ عَنْهُ مِنْ مَالِهِ حَجَّةٌ وَعُمْرَةٌ. Listen. As for one who neglects it until he dies, enough money to perform one Hajj and one Umrah to be done on his behalf should be taken out of his estate. Yani, here he said, if someone farrat, he neglected Hajj, and he passed away, it'll be taken from his money, apart from his funeral money, money to pay someone to perform Hajj on his behalf. On his behalf. This is something very important. Here, what Ibn Qudama rahimahullah is saying, that the money is to be taken from his estate before the money is distributed to his inheritors. The money is to be taken before it is distributed to his inheritance. Now, why? Because the Hajj is the debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the debt of the deceased has to be what? Paid back. Now, then he said, وَلَا يَصُحُّ مِنْكَ الْحَجُّ مِنْ كَافِرٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونَ. And وَلَا يَصُحُّ, meaning what? The Hajj. From a disbeliever. The disbeliever is not allowed to perform Hajj because it's not accepted from them. Why the Dalil? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tawbah, verse 54, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and what stopped them from their sadaqah to be accepted from them, except that they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah verse 28, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسْ. Indeed, the polytheists are impure. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. They do not come near the Masjid al-Haram after the year which Allah revealed Surah At-Tawbah. Somebody would ask, what does it mean, najas? It doesn't mean najas like if you touch him, you become impure. No. No, it is the aqidah is impure, so they're not allowed in the Masjid al-Haram. I'd like to mention something just for you as a da'wah, especially the brothers who do street da'wah and all of that, and they took to kuffar. Just as a, yani, I see many don't know how to answer this question. Some people would say, how come we're not allowed to enter Makkah and Medina? You guys Muslims are racist or whatever, or you don't allow us, or you don't allow us to build churches in Makkah and Medina. صح. First, the answer is very simple. Some brothers answer this: for you to come to Australia, you need a visa, and the visa is what? Granted by the government. And to enter the Masjid al-Haram, you need a visa. Your visa is La ilaha illallah. Of course, this is our unbelief. It's a strong answer. Not, it is a strong answer for us Muslims, but it's not a strong, convincing answer to the kafir. But I believe, my own ijtihad, the better answer is to say, in every country around the world where there is indigenous people, you're not allowed that our pieces of land remain sacred. And the biggest proof, here in Australia, there is land owned by the Aboriginal where white man is not allowed, or any other man is not allowed to walk in or put his foot in there except by special permission. Even if the Prime Minister himself wants to walk into that land, he's not allowed to. It's considered as sacred land. And the holy place of Mecca and Medina, they are what? Sacred land. And no one other than Muslim is allowed to walk into it. That's it. Simple. Why it is so hard? The Vatican is considered a sacred land. You're not allowed to build a masjid in the near the Vatican area. Actually, you're not allowed to build a proper masjid inside of all of Italy. There's only one masjid. If you ask, there's only one masjid, and this is after a long diplomatic negotiation, it was allowed to be built in Italy, because they consider it as the heart of Christianity. Don't rubbish me by saying, oh, you guys and you guys. No, every religion, even the Aboriginal in Australia, they have sacred land where no one is allowed to come in without a specific permission. And same thing, Mecca and Medina. Any other answer, oh, because maybe the kuffar will spit and maybe... This is all weak answers. If a person who's not Muslim, he hears this answer, it's not a strong answer. This is a strong answer. He said, so it is not accepted from a kafir. وَلَا مِن مَجْنُونَ And not from a crazy. Why? Because the main condition of any ibadah, you have to have عقل. صح intellect. وَيَصُحُّ مِنَ الصَّبِي And it is correct from the Sabi, the young who hasn't reached the age of puberty. Be careful. The Sheikh is accurate. He said, Yasah. He didn't say accepted. He said, correct. It is correct. He did not say it is accepted. Why? Because acceptance drops the obligation. But he's still obligated. Meaning, if a 7-8 years old kid performed Hajj, he still have to do Hajj when he reaches puberty. It's called Hajjatul Islam. The first Hajj, always the ulama call it Hajjatul Islam. Yani, as a Muslim, you have to do one Hajj in your lifetime. So if you're a kid or young and you did do Hajj before the age of puberty, that Hajj is not accepted as Hajjatul Islam, but it is correct Hajj, meaning the reward is there. Now, as here the hadith in Sahih Muslim عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, that a woman raised or lifted a young boy, she said, for this, Ya Rasulullah, Ali hadha Hajj, for this young boy Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, and the reward is for you. And I told you last week, don't do child labor. I call the kids, Allah so I can get the reward. No, don't do that. Also, it is accepted from the slave. Why? Because the slave is not obligated with Hajj. The slave, when there was a slavery, they're not obligated with Salat al-Jumu'ah, they're not obligated with Salat al-Jama'ah, they're not obligated with Jihad, they're not obligated with Hajj, nor Umrah. Why? Because their freedom is owned. Once they become free, then they have to do Hajj, even if they did not Hajj with their master, or they've done it by themselves. Once they become free, then they have to do Hajj. And that's why he said, وَلَا يُجْزِئُهُمَا But it does not exempt either of them from their obligation to perform it later. So, the young kid who hasn't reached puberty, or the slave, once he becomes a free, and the kid, once he reaches puberty, he has to redo it again. وَيَصَحُّ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْمُسْتَطِيعِ. Listen, it is valid for the one who cannot afford it. يعني someone could not afford Hajj, but he strove and he struggled and he went Hajj. Let's just say someone, as I told you today, he decided to walk from Istanbul all the way to Mecca. Is he, if he cannot afford the airplane or the train ticket or the bus ticket, he decided to walk. Even he can't afford the food. But he walked and he scabbed from here food and begged from here food and from there food, even though he's not obligated. Yeah? Because if you can't suffice yourself the food each way, there and back, and if you cannot afford the ride to get you there, then there is no Hajj on you. But he said, this man had nothing. He said, I'm going to try my luck. I'm going to walk there and scab from here, ask there, beg there. Tayyib, is his Hajj accepted? Correct and accepted?
Yes.
His Hajj is correct and accepted. And pay attention. And he said, وَالْمَرْأَ بِغَيْرِ مَحْرَمٍ. And the woman without mahram. So the woman, if she doesn't have mahram, she says, but I'm still going to go. She insisted. She said, you can't stop me. I am going to go. Regardless what opinion she follows, her hajj is accepted. But according to the Hanabila, she is what?
Sinning.
But her hajj is what? Accepted. You can't say her hajj is not accepted. No. The matter is difference of opinion amongst the scholars. When things are difference of opinion, that's why we need to relax a little bit and back off. Yani, I remember in my early days when I was starting the da'wah, now Hajj with al-Mahram, and I used to get angry. And now you realize later, hang on a minute, yani, who do you think you are? If Malik and the Shafi'i, you think you're smarter than the Shafi'i? Are you smarter than Imam Malik? So sit down and shut up. I'm talking about to myself. Yani, I look myself in the mirror. I say to myself, sit down and shut up. You're not better than them. Yes, you follow an opinion. You give the fatwa according to that opinion that you follow. But by the end of the day, we all, yani, everyone has his own proofs and that. But we give the fatwa according to the proofs that we find correct and what we are prepared to stand in front of Allah with. Sah? We continue. He said, وَمَنْ حَجَّ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ حَجَّ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ أو عن نذره أو عن نفله وفعله قبل حجة الإسلام وقع حجه عن فرض نفسه دون غيره. I'll read it in English. As for someone who performs Hajj on behalf of someone else when he has not yet performed it for himself, or performs Hajj to fulfill a vow, or performs a voluntary Hajj before performing the mandatory Hajj of Islam, this will count as the mandatory Hajj that he is obligated to do himself and will not count for anyone else. What does it mean? Meaning if a person says, I'm going to do Hajj on behalf of my father, and he did not do Hajj on himself, the Hajj falls on himself, not on his father. Or he intended, I'm going to do this Hajj, supererogatory Hajj. Then it falls what? For the obligatory Hajj. Or he did another. He said, Wallah, if Allah give me a boy, I'm going to do Hajj. And then you haven't done the Hajjat al-Islam, the first Hajjah, then it falls what? Yes. Hajjat al-Islam, you still have another Hajj to do, the nazar. You see? So this is, you have to do Hajjat al-Islam first.
Even if the intention was for the Hajj Badr,
doesn't matter.
It will change.
Why? Because the lower get attracted by the higher. Of course, the dalil for this, a man, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abu Dawood radiallahu anhu, in the hadith of Abu Dawood rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the man saying, Labbayka an Shubruma. A man said, Labbaika, yani Labbaika Allahumma Hajj on the behalf of Shubruma. He said, Hal Hajjasta, the Prophet, he said, Hal Hajjasta an Nafsik, did you do Hajj, perform Hajj on the behalf of yourself? He said, no. He said, Hujja, Hujj, an nafsik. Do perform Hajj on the behalf of yourself. Thumma, Hujj. Then perform Hajj on the behalf of whom? Shubruman. Sah? No. Now we finished the prerequisites, the conditions of Hajj. We move into Al-Mawaqid. Al-Mawaqid. Sites of Ihram. Of course, Al-Mawaqid are sites that the Prophet ﷺ designated for the people. When they reach them, to make the intention, the niyyah, for either Umrah or Hajj. If you pass them without the niyyah, then there is a compensation to be done. We'll talk about it. First we talk about, yani we move slowly with the book because we don't want it to get confusing. So what do? This is called what? Mawaqid. Of course they are all nearly the same. Yani now the mawaqid, they're not as famous as before due to everyone now lands in Jeddah and people land, sah, because of flying. But people that used to walk or people who still drive to Hajj, there are different mawaqid. Will explain. He said, وَمِيقَاتُ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ ذُو الْحُلَيْفَ. The miqat, ihram site of the people of Medina is ذُو الْحُلَيْفَ. Miqat أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ where? ذُو الْحُلَيْفَ. What you call today Biyar Ali. Biyar Ali, it's called Biyar Ali, which is not far away from Medina. Normally, if you're going to Mecca, this is yani from here in Australia, and we all, majority of us, or 99.9%, we all do Hajj Tamattu, which we do Umrah, then Hajj. Majority of the people, there are some groups that go Mecca first, then later they go to Medina. Majority of the people, they go first, they land in Jeddah. Now, the better groups land in Medina. If they land in Jeddah, they drive you all the way to Medina. It's a horrible drive. 10, 11 hours. On a good day, yes. That's if the bus doesn't break. On 60 or 70 kilometers, an Egyptian driver who sleeps half the way and the other half you need to wake him up. This is what I do. I do that normally. I stay next to him. Start to talk to him, Egyptians. So he can stay awake and talk to me. I've got the whole bus. Here people come with no ihram. And you start, they see you start the brothers whining from there. Of course, Jeddah is what? It's about 40-minute trip from Mecca, but it is a long drive to Medina. Now, as I said, the ones who pay a little bit extra, they can fly all the way to Medina, which is, believe it or not, it's a holiday. When you land in Medina, you do not know how fortunate you are when you land in Medina compared to the one who land in Jeddah. Just to get out from the airport, to get into the bus, 7 to 8 hours. And then from the bus, we used to do that, I've done that for 5 years straight. Alaykum salam. And with the bus from Jeddah, as soon as you get into the bus, this is if it's a good bus with a good driver, after we do all the begging in the world, sah, then you get to Medina. Of course, with your normal clothing, you go to Medina. Now, you haven't passed any miqat, you got nothing to do with miqat. Normally, you spend your time in Medina, everyone enjoys the Medina, and then what they do, the time of going to Mecca, where they do the big exchange, everyone move from Medina to Mecca. When you go to Mecca, you get into your clothing ihram, which is the white clothing, we'll talk about that, to drive you away, to Mecca. Now, on your way to Mecca, if you're doing tamattu', this is when you get ready for the Umrah. You see, the Shaykh then tells you, you need to clean yourself. We'll talk about it later in the lessons, inshallah. The people get ready, jump on the jump in the bus, jazakallah khair, and straight to where? To Mecca. As soon as you get out of Medina, about 20 minutes a drive, half an hour, they take you to Dhul Hulayfa, which is Abyar Ali. There you make, you stop. Of course, you have to stamp all the paperwork. They always give you like that much paperwork. Sahih, as if you... Al-Muhim. When you get there, the only thing you do is you make your intention there about Hajj. Normally, people like to go out and pray to Rak'at and everything. If you ask me, those two Rak'at, we'll talk about it later. Majority of our mashaykh, they say it's not Sunnah. But people, if you don't do that, people get upset. And for me, if they stop for a minute, say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, and just carry on, would have been perfect. But people get cry about that. Anyway, a lot of things people cry about, it's not an issue. Al-Muhim, you go to Dhul Hulayfa or Biyar Ali, and they say, intention there, and you go. Tayyib, now you say, I'm not a Madinite. I'm not a people from, and I'm not a person from Medina. I am Australian. Like, I live in Australia, or I am whatever country I come from. But because you resided in Medina for a while, now you are treated like Madinites. You see? And that's why you go through Biyar Ali, صح, which is Dhul Hulayfa. Now, so this is how it is. He said, وَأَهْلُ الشَّامِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَمِصْرِ الْجُحْفَةِ. For the people of Asham. Who are Asham? يعني the Lebanese, the Syrians, the Palestinians, the Jordanians. Also the people who come from Al-Maghrib, Morocco, Libya. All that area, the north of Africa. And you could say all this. They go... Egypt, they go through what? Yalamlam. So this is another. It is close to the Juhfa. It is about 200 kilometers from Medina. So here the author mentioned Misr, Maghrib, Asham, Ahl Sham. This is only a sample from these countries. Yani, you say Sudan. So from the same Niqab. You see? Central Africa. Senegal, the same, Miqat, because they are borders. You're talking about a certain direction. Now, as for Ahlul Yemen, Yalamlam, another place called Yalamlam, which is about 80 kilometers from Medina. They call it today As-Sa'diyya. It's just the name changed, but it's called As-Sa'diyya. Wali Najd, and Najd way, Riyadh, that area, Riyadh. Najd, Riyadh, a place called Qarn al-Tha'alib. It's called today As-Sayl al-Kabir. It's about 80 kilometers from Mecca. Of course, where is the Dalil? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, an Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, waqata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li ahli al-Madinati dhal Hulayfa. And before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mawaqit. Mawaqit, this is mawaqit makaniya. What is mawaqit makaniya? Meaning places. Mawaqit makaniya. Places. Because you see, also there is a zaman, time, where you need to make the intention for Hajj in those times. Yani, be careful. Passing the miqat in the month of, for example, Safar, the Arabic month of Safar, you cannot do intention for Hajj. We'll talk about the specific months which is you can do intention for Hajj. They are, yes, we'll talk about them when we get to them. Here he said, "Wali ahli Sham al Juhfa." We explained it. ولأهل نجد قرنا ولأهل اليمن يلملم وقال هن لهن ولمن أتى عليهن من غير أهلهن ممن أراد الحج والعمرة. He said, these are mawaqid for the people who are residing in those places and for those who come through them wanting to perform Hajj and Umrah. وَمَنْ كَانَ دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ فَمِنْ حَيْثُ أَنْشَأَ حَتَّى أَهْلُ مَكَّةَ مِنْ مَكَّةَ. Now, he said, whoever lives closer to the haram than these places enters into ihram from his place of residence. Even the people of Mecca, they would enter into ihram from Mecca. So there is a hukum for whom? For the Makki. The person who resides in Mecca, where does he enter ihram from? From home. The person who lives in Jeddah, where does he enter ihram from? Home. Sahih, because Jeddah is near Mecca. And if you do in tamattu', you came now in your journey, you drove to Medina, you resided in Medina, you moved from Medina down where? To Abyar Ali. You made the intention of Umrah, you did the Umrah, you shaved your hair, you took off the ihram and you wear your thawb and you stay in Mecca for 5-6 days, a holiday praying near the haram. Now Hajj comes, where do you start your ihram from?
Mecca.
From Mecca, from your hotel. And you make an intention from your hotel room, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj, you enter your ihram and you go on the day of Tarwiyah. Normally people start going to sleep that night in Mina and next morning they go to Arafat. وَلِلْمَشْرِقِ ذَاتُ عِرْقِ. And for the ones who come from the east, the ones who come from east, it's a place called ذَاتُ عِرْقِ. This is Iraq and all the Muslims' lands east of it. طيب, this is where anyone who comes from the east, which is Ahlul Iraq, and anyone who comes from the east. They call it today Al-Dariba, and it is about 80 kilometers. What is the proof for this miqat? It's not the hadith. And that's why this miqat, it's a controversial miqat between the scholars. Why? Because Bukhari narrated that Ibn Umar, on the authority of Ibn Umar, the Ahlul Iraq came to him, to Umar radiallahu anhu. They said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did for Ahl Najd, Qarn, and it is far away from our way. So it is not close to our way. They said, Ahl Najd, which is Qarn. He said, and it is, they said, it is far away from our way. He said, قَالَ فَانْظُرُوا حِذْوَهَا مِنْ تَرِيقِكُمْ. See what is parallel to it in your way. Meaning, if they're coming straight, for them to go to Qarn, they have to go around and come back again. You see? He said, it's far. He said, look at a point that is parallel to it, on the same line, and he placed for them a miqat, they go through it. فَحَدَّ لَهُمْ ذَاتَ عِرْضٍ. He made for them ذَاتَ عِرْضٍ. And this is a miqat that after that it was accepted by the agreement of the scholars, and the agreement was narrated by Yani Ibn Abdul Bar in the Tamheed. So you understand what Umar did radiallahu anhu? He pointed the line for them. Now, فهذه المواقيت لأهلها ولكل من يمر عليها. This mawaqit is for its people who live, as the hadith said, and anyone, here he said, those are the mawaqit for the people who live there and for those who cross through or by them. Like someone is flying over the miqat, he flies over the miqat by intention. And this is the hadith to show you the greatness of the hadith. He said, anyone who passed there, meaning even if you don't live in the east, say you come from Australia, and you're flying to Jeddah, but you're driving where? To Mecca. Understand this. You're flying to Jeddah, but you're driving to Mecca. You cannot enter Mecca without intention. And that's why you make the intention where? On the plane. Now, which miqat you're passing? But you're not passing the miqat of the people that you are traveling. You're probably the train going around, and then, you see, then you make the intention in the air over any miqat they fly over. Sah. Or on the line of the miqat, on the line of the miqat. And that's why the captain normally announces, we are flying over the miqat. Just as a hint, by the way, can I make the intention before the captain announces?
Yes.
Differentiate between two things. When you wear your white thawb, you haven't entered the ihram. It is when you make the niyyah. When you say labbaik Allahumma umrah or labbaik Allahumma hajj. Time you're flying from Indonesia, I wear the ihram and I say labbaik Allahumma umrah. Is that accepted? Yes.
Yes.
But you are in the state of ihram now, so you're restricting yourself from now. Something goes wrong and you stay 3 days in Dubai, you are in the state of ihram for the next 3 days. So, you copped it. So be careful. Now this is the point here. Now, and that's why it's to be delayed until you reach the ihram and you make the intention. Now, yes.
As per this hadith that Prophet ﷺ said that whoever lives closer to the haram, that we talked about Makkah, that a person is there. For example, we did the Umrah, and then since we are in Makkah, we do the Niyyah of the Hajj from there. Mm-hmm. Similarly for the Umrah, now the people who, for example, they go there and they want to perform 2, 3, 4, 5 Umrah. Usually people
okay,
do.
If
this hadith applies to them?
No, the ones who want to repeat Umrah, they need to go out. Because the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where he sent her out and then to what they call today Masjid Aisha. Yes, they go out, make the intention and come back in. But for the Hajj, you do it from inside Mecca. Now, he said, woman. منزله دون الميقات فميقاته من منزله. For someone whose his house is close to Mecca than the miqat, including the people of Mecca, his miqat is from his own home, as I explained. صح. حتى أهل مكة يهلون منها لحجهم ويهلون للعمرة من أدنى الحل. However, they enter into ihram for umrah from the closest place outside the sacred area, the haram. Now, that's why, yani, as I said to you, from inside his hotel, from or inside his house, if he's a Meccan, he makes the intention from inside. وَيُهِلُّونَ لِلْعُمْرَةِ مِنْ أَدْنَى الْحِلِّ. Now, there is the word adna. Here, the other narration of the book, وَيُهِلُّونَ لِلْعُمْرَ مِنَ الْحِلِّ طيب, which they make intention for Umrah to the closest place outside the sacred area, the Haram. So, as we said to you, for the Umrah, what do? They leave the Haram area, which is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr, to take Aisha radiallahu anha to the Tan'im, where it's called Masjid Aisha today, for her to do the intention for Umrah and come back in again. But the Hajj is done from, we're not talking now because we don't want to go into Tamattu' Qiran and everything. I don't want to go into details, but I explained to you the ones who do Tamattu', صح? But for the Umrah, what do? They go out to the hill and they come back again. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ طَرِيقُهُ عَلَى مِقَاتْ. As I explained to you about the ones who are flying. He said, as for the someone whose way does not pass by a miqat, he said, فَمِقَاتُهُ حَذْوَ أَقَرَبِهَا إِلَيْهِ. His miqat would be the closest miqat to him. Which means, he looks at the places which is the closer to him, according to the lines drawn of the mawaqit, which is stated, and then he measure up. Normally you don't do that. It's all done by, if you are flying, by the captain and so. And this is for the plane. They take which is the closest to them in the flight, and then they announce for you in the plane to do to do the intentions because of Hadith Ibn Abbas and the saying of Umar radiallahu anhu, how he did to whom? To the people of Ahlul Iraq. To Ahlul Iraq, how he helped them. Now, he said,
ولا يجوز لمن أراد دخول مكة تجاوز الميقات غير محرم إلا لقتال مباح وحاجة تتكرر كالحطاب ونحوه.
This is something important. He said it is not permissible for one who wants to enter Mecca to pass the miqat without entering into the state of ihram, except in the case of a permissible fighting or reoccurring need, such as gathering firewood or similar cases.
Yani, for example, because the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith, which is some ulama weaken this hadith, it is not allowed to pass the miqat except with ihram. Meaning, you cannot keep going and back, forth and back, but to Mecca. Yeah, you can't go to Mecca and enter Mecca without ihram and an intention. Or to go, for example, for Umrah or something like that. You cannot pass the ihram. Unless someone, like he needs to go in and out to Mecca. Like today, truck drivers, bus drivers. Here he said Hattab, like somebody going to go inside Mecca, cut wood and come out. Otherwise, for you and me, the commoner is not allowed to end past the ihram except without an intention.
Some scholars said, وذهب بعض أهل العلم إلى أن الإحرام لا يجب على من مر بالميقات إذا لم يكن مريدا للحج والعمرة.
Why? Because this is important.
إذا كان قد حج أو اعتمر، لأن الحج والعمرة لا يجبان في العمرة إلا مرة واحدة.
طيب. There is another opinion which is closer, يعني more correct than this opinion. What does it say? It said that some scholars said it is not obligatory on the one who passed by the miqat to do ihram or intention. Why? Because Hajj and Umrah is obligated one in your lifetime. And if you did Hajj and Umrah already, then there is no need to. صح؟ Like somebody, for example, he did the obligatory Umrah and the obligatory Hajj. And he's going to Mecca. Is he obligated to make an intention because you're passing by a miqat and to do a Umrah? Some ulama said no. Sah? Some ulama said no. But you never been to Mecca and you passed by the miqat. Imagine, then you need to do an intention of either Umrah or Hajj, or both. صح؟ What is the dalil for this opinion that we mentioned? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هُنَّ لَهُنَّ وَلِمَنْ أَتَى عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِنْ مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. He said, they are what they are for. Anyone who go past them from the resident around those mawaqit, for anyone who want to do Hajj or Umrah. What if you don't want to do Hajj and Umrah, what happens? ثُمَّ إِذَا أَرَادَ النُّسُكَ أَحْرَمَ مِنْ مَوْضِعِهِ. يعني he said he should enter the state of Ihram from his place. So he said here, this is a piece that I missed. ثُمَّ إِذَا أَرَادَ النُّسُكَ أَحْرَمَ مِنْ مَوْضِعِهِ. If he intends the rites of Hajj or Umrah, he should enter the state of Ihram from his place. Meaning, if a person passed through the Miqat without Ihram, not intending to perform Hajj or Umrah, and then decided to perform Hajj or Umrah, he, she would enter into the state of Ihram from wherever he or she is without having to go back any Miqat. You see? So, if he passed it, he's saying, without, you're not intending to do Hajj or Umrah. You're going to travel to Mecca for, you're a bus driver, truck driver. You drive all the time from there. You're driving and you didn't intend Hajj and Umrah. And you stayed there and you said, I want to do Hajj and Umrah. Or Umrah. Do you go back?
He's a resident now. He's a resident now, so he has to.
As a Umrah, we said, your Umrah, you go to the closest. Sah. But if you want to do Hajj, what do you do? From your place. Khalas, you don't need to. صح وإن جاوزه غير محرم if he passed it without إحرام
if he crosses it without إحرام for the one what who already intended to do Hajj and Umrah.
Give you an example. Somebody You're differentiating between the two, or now it's getting a little bit complex. I told you, Hajj chapter is not easy. First, so I can refresh your memory. Somebody not intending Hajj and Umrah, he left his house, he's a truck driver who lives in the area, or a taxi driver going up and down all the time. He passed the Miqat with not intending Hajj and Umrah, and he resided that night in Mecca. And then he said, you know what? Today is, tomorrow could be Hajj, or tomorrow is Arafah. Why don't I stay a couple of days here and do the Hajj? It's easy. Of course, if you know Fara'id al-Hajj, you do Hajj in 2 days. You take your 1 month, but it is actually 2 to 3 days, and you're done. Muhim. He says, I'm here and I'm here. Khas, or his car broke down and the man come, the mechanics said to him, listen, mate, it is Hajj season, forget it. It's not going to be repaired. You have to spend the week here. He says, wallah, since I'm spending the week here, by the time the parts comes, might as well do Hajj and Umrah. So what he does, he goes out and make intention for Umrah. He does the Umrah, then he come out from his clothes, and then he intend for Hajj, if he's doing tamattu'. Or if he's doing only Hajj, which is Ifrad, he says, from his, where he's standing, he enters into the state of Ihram, and he said, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj, and he does not have to go out and come back in again. We understand it. Now, as for someone like you and me, we're traveling there for Hajj, and we pass the Miqat. We pass the Miqat, but we already have the intention for Hajj or Umrah. What do? We there. He said, he goes back and does Ihram from where? From the Miqat. وَلَا دَمَ عَلَيْهِ. And there is no blood on him. What does mean no blood? Yani he does not have to sacrifice his sheep. لِأَنَّهُ أَحْرَمَ مِنَ الْمِقَاتِ. Because he did Ihram from where? From the Miqat. That happens a lot. How is that? I tell you. We tell the group, Shabab, we brainwash them, but still don't listen. Why? Because you'll be in the lecture, Ya Shabab, please. This is a 1 week lecture before, or 3 days. The Shabab, you see, Sheikh, when you're going to talk to us, how we're going to do Umrah or Hajj? Everyone is panicking. Akhi, wallahi, wait. Because if I tell you everything now, 10 minutes, by the time you get downstairs, it's all evaporated from your smart brain of yours. So wait. Please wait. You keep nagging, keep nagging. Then 1 day, 2 days before the Umrah, you explain to them. You understood? Yeah, Sheikh. In the bus, Shabab, please. Are you wearing undies? No. Wearing the Ihram properly? Yes. طيب. Shabab, please, when we get to the Miqat, you have to say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. Yes. Okay. Shabab, please. Okay. We go, we grab the Miqat halfway, we're going to get to Mecca. Shabab, do you make the intention? Sheikh, I forgot. Now, what? You throw him out of the bus, you kill him, what do you do? We tell him. Yeah, you tell him, Akhi, I cannot drive the bus back with 50 people, and I'm actually not the only bus. There are like three buses in a caravan. We're following each other. It's not going to happen. Doesn't matter. You got blue eyes, white skin, red eyes. Doesn't matter what you are. I'm not going back for you. We think, move, act as a group. We don't act as an individual. So, that's it. Don't cry mommy, because mommy not going to help you now. You see, this is the issue. Now here, the person, if he goes back and make the intention and come back, there is no issue on him. But if he carries on, there is a blood on him. So any mistake, when you don't listen, especially about the important directions, it'll be sometimes a problem for you, not for us. You didn't listen. And a lot of the times it's the brothers that make those mistakes. They say, oh, but you didn't explain. Yes, I did explain, but you preferred to hang out down the Starbucks cafe while I was giving the lecture about what you need to do. Or you preferred to hang out and shop for perfume while I told you is a lecture today. Or to snore after I told you that or queue up in Hungry Jack. Sah? Or Burger King. Al-Muhim. He said, لِأَنَّهُ أَحْرَمَ مِنَ الْمِقَاتِ. Because he made ihram from where? From the miqat, that's why there is no penalty. So if you passed it, I passed it. You go back and say, لَبَّكَ اللَّهُمَّ Hajj, and you walk in again, خلاص, there's nothing on you. Why? Because you did the obligation from where it's supposed to be done. فإن أحرم من دونه فعليه دم سواء رجع إلى الميقات أو لم يرجع. He said, here he said, he should go back to enter the state of Ihram from the Miqat, and no animal sacrifice is required of him. However, if he enters the state of Ihram from a place closer to the Haram than the Miqat, then an offering of an animal is due on him, whether or not he goes back to the Ihram site. Now, what happens here? Let's just say he passed the Miqat and we're now closer to the Haram. Yani we didn't just pass it by a kilometer or two. We actually took off. And we're now about to reach the Haram area. Khalas. You see? Why? Now you have neglected an obligation from the obligation of the Hajj, and you require dam, which is normally a sheep or a cow, a sheep or goat, or better still, a camel or a cow. Now, here he said also the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, said, من نسي من نسكه شيئا أو تركه فليهرق دما. He said, whomever forgets something from his nusuk, the rites of Hajj, or he neglected it, or Umrah also, فليهرق دما, let him kill an animal. Now, some ulama, they said that, yani, what he's saying, if you pass it intentionally, but you do not, you pass the miqat intentionally without getting into the state of ihram. Yani, they make the intention, but they stay in their clothes. Because if you live in Medina, if you're a student, or some of the residents also, ask the shabab, all of them. Yani, ask all the new graduate mashaykh, they will tell you. They want to do Hajj. They need to be there. They need to spend some time there before they allow tasrih. Tasrih to give them an allowance to go to do Hajj. Sah? To do Hajj. But, yani, they give them 5 years between each Hajj. Yani, when they first come to Medina, the government gives them tasrih. Tasrih is a license or permission. A permission to perform Hajj. Because they cannot pass the checkpoints. When you travel, inshallah, you see there are between Mecca and Medina a few checkpoints. And you can't pass the checkpoint without permission, unless you're with a group. So the students, so they don't have it overcrowded down there, the students, they say, they give them permission once, but they cannot come every year. All the students, they do Hajj every year. And if there is Hajj twice a year, they do twice a year. So, they don't have a permission. So what do they do? They cannot pass the Miqat with Ihram, with the white clothing. So what they do with the ihram, yani the white towels, what do? They make the intention with their normal clothes. And once they get there, what they do, because they're not going to ask them for permission, they trust, they're wearing suit or they're wearing shirt and their pants, khalas, they're not going to question them. Or wearing thawb, they let them go. Because so many people drive, they look into the car and they see people wearing ihram. If they're not in the bus, they ask him, show us your permission. You either show them your permission or you're a visitor. You show them some kind of permission before you pass the miqat. In the bus, of course, you have a permission which is with us, the leaders, the group leaders, all your names, everything, your number is there. They check, they go inside, count, and they sometimes they name calling, you know, a roll call, and they know who is in the bus. So these students, they pass by. They're not going to check them because they're wearing shirts or pants or thawb or whatever. Or sometimes they get dropped near the desert somewhere and they drive through the back roads and everything. Allah Musta'an. Well, they do some tricks to get to the haram. Now, once they do that, they passed the miqat with the intention, but they left something which is coming out of their clothes. That's why they slaughter a sheep. Now, here he said, "Wal afdalu an la yuhrima qabla al-miqat." The best, it is better not to enter into ihram before the miqat. Sah? Which is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did ihram from the miqat. And Uthman radiallahu anhu objected on the one who did ihram before the miqat. In reality, can you do ihram before miqat? Yes, but the sunnah is from where? That's what I told you. Told you, like, if you are in a little bit of doubt, if you're on the plane, just you can make the ihram just a little bit earlier. Some brothers, they keep the ihram with them and they wear it on the plane inside. It's very, very awkward. Also, yani, if you're flying from Dubai, normally you're flying from Dubai, it's only a couple of hours of flight. Better to get into the clothing of ihram and wait for the announcement of the captain to say, we are over the miqat, and you make the intention. If you're worried that the captain will forget, 10-15 minutes, if you know what you're doing, you can make intention, utter the intention on your tongue. So as I told you, separate between the two, wearing the white towels and uttering the ihram. Ma'alishi shabab, as I told you, this lesson is going to drag a little bit because there's so much to cover and we're traveling in 3 weeks. Here he said, فَإِن فَعَلَ فَهُوَ مُحْرِمٌ. If he does so, he is in the state of ihram. Yani, even if you come out from your house here in Sydney in ihram clothing and you make the intention in the month of ihram, you are in the state of ihram. Sah? And that's why he said, because of the companions radiallahu anhum, some of them did ihram before the miqat. Before the miqat, and there is no difference of opinion about this. Ibn Qudama mentioned it in the Mughni, and many other scholars mentioned that, yeah, that you can do ihram before the miqat. What are the month of Hajj? This is the timely time you can do to utter the intention. Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah. Yani from this month, from this month, you can start from Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Now, if you go now to Mecca, you have to pass by an intention of at least Umrah. If you go now to Mecca and you don't want to do Umrah and you want to do another different type of Hajj, because Hajj are three types. Tamattu', which is you do Umrah and Hajj. I won't go into details. The second one is what? Ifrad. Ifrad meaning you only do Hajj. You go straight to Arafat. But you're going now to Mecca and you want to do Ifrad. Then you pass by the Miqat now with Labbaik Allahumma Hajj. And you're stuck in your Ihram for another 6 weeks and few days. From now, yani we are nearly in the middle of Shawwal, you get hammered. But if you're doing Tamattu', which is that's why the people choose Tamattu', you pass now in Shawwal, you pass by the Miqat, you make intention for Umrah, you do your Umrah, you can take off your Ihram and you stand in your clothing and you wait for Hajj. You see, that's the difference between the two. That's why Tamattu' requires you to slaughter a sheep. And you normally, if it's a good package that you're with, they will do that on your behalf. They charge you already from Sydney and you pay on your behalf. So, Ashhur al-Hajj, it is not allowed to intend for Hajj before those or after those. It is not, your intention for Ihram is not correct before this month, like it's not correct in Ramadan, nor after the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. You see, especially after the 9th day, which is the day of what? Arafat. I know you're mentally now drained. Anyway, it's been narrated yani, from the companions, radiallahu anhum, that this is the time when they intended for what about if someone in Ramadan, he wore his ihram, he passed by the miqat and he intended Hajj. What does he do? It turned to Umrah. Then he does an Umrah and he comes out. Why? Because Hajj is not accepted, so it drops to the lower, which is the Umrah. Which is the Umrah. Next week, inshallah, we'll speak about how to prepare yourself to ihram. Tayyib, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.